looking in this Bible and it has a lot of writing in it. I wonder if it's one of the ones that Tyshawn signed back in the day.
When you said a lot of writing, my first thought was like, duh, it's a book.
No, like handwriting. Like
that's really snarky of me.
Like
I'm
the Half Blood Prince.
I'm trying to move past snarkiness in my life. I'm trying to get it. It has gotten me nowhere good at this point. Especially when you're in like when you're at work and
I thought you were going to say when you're a newlywed.
Yes, absolutely. but like when you're at work and you just know like this is going to go right over this person's head. Let me slide it in there. But then someone catches it, someone else, and you're just like, oh crap.
Oh man.
It's not good. It's not a good look.
A couple Saturdays ago, this has been a surprising thing for me about pet ownership, about dog ownership.
Lee has a dog.
I have a
and
dog.
A rabbit, but he likes his rabbit.
This has been surprising to me about dog ownership is like, Christy pointed it out and it was like, yes, that's so true, which is, I guess it was two Saturdays ago. It was like, it snowed a lot in Oak Ridge. Or was that this past
Saturday? Christmas Day, right?
No, that was true too. But like we had a Saturday.
Oh,
you
just
were
kept snowing. Yeah, it just didn't stop snowing for like the whole morning.
It just
didn't really stick. It didn't really stick.
But like
last Saturday.
Because it was 35. But like it snowed a lot. Yeah. And at one point it was like a ton of big old flakes, big old snow chunks. And like we were out at the Oak Ridge Dog Park with the dog. And as a result, we were just out in the snow for a long, long time. And I realized like, Christy realized it. And I totally agreed that like, if we didn't have this dog, we would be inside with like a mug of coffee, watching it and saying, that's so pretty. But as a result of the dog, we were out in it, you know? And one of my immediate thoughts was, oh man, like whatever Thomas is doing, I bet he's loving this so much. And then I found out that you were landscaping the whole, so you were actually out in it as well. And it just like you plus landscaping plus snow, that must just be like happy Tom.
Yeah. It's funny. Cause like I'll try to keep like a landscaping job going at all times.
Yeah.
Just to say like, it's just fun. I just have fun. It doesn't feel like a job. I said job and I'm like, it's just fun. Like I'll look down. It's like, well, it's been 4 hours and I've just been throwing mulch in someone's yard for a while. It's
right.
Really fun. It's really fun.
And so for you to do it out in the snow is just like, it's like you probably just had a song on your heart the whole time.
I was just kind of like skipping around while like shoveling mulch, you know, just like, and every time I'd go get a load of mulch, they'd be like, you're mulching in this. And I was like, that's right.
Oh yeah.
You don't even know, lady.
That's so fun. You. It's been like, I think one of the things that's interesting for me was the beginning of the pandemic, we had one of the most beautiful springs I've ever experienced. Like last spring was just so gorgeous. And I mean, like a really, really difficult year that we've been in and that we're in. And we've had like in East Tennessee, all this snow. And it's just been like so pretty and so enjoyable.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, it's just kind of one of those unexpected gifts. And like, because of the dog ownership, we're just out in it. We're just out enjoying it.
Yeah. I hope we get just an absolute monstrosity of a snowstorm. You know what happened last weekend to me?
Say it.
So like last week we found out there was like water dripping under our house constantly.
Oh, that's
just
not
like,
good.
No, not good. Not good. Like, my dad and I were going down there to look at something else and we were like, uh-oh.
Yeah, water's your house's enemy.
So, yeah. So, like, we have a home warranty. Called them. They were like, yeah, we can't do anything about it. Which was like, why am I paying you?
Yeah.
But I was telling Devo about it, Devin Accardi. I was just like, yeah, we have this, like, drip going on. He was like, I can fix that. And it's one of those things where you're like, Are you sure? Like, you're very confident right now.
Yeah.
Like, talking about plumbing. This is my
this is my house.
Like, yeah, I'll come look at it. And I was like, okay. And he came over there, and like before I knew it, there was like a 3-foot hole in my wall.
Oh gosh.
And he's like, I can fix this. Just like, okay. And then a day later, it's all fixed.
Oh, wow.
It was amazing.
That's so cool.
It was unbelievable. He just like spent 5 hours on a Sunday, came back Monday night after his kids were in bed and was like, your shower works. No wow. more leak. It's like, what? This is unbelievable.
Yeah, that's not the way my brain works. I don't look at certain problems and think like, yeah, I can probably handle that.
Yeah.
Like our buddy Charlie, he looks at anything and is like, I guarantee you I can do that.
Mm.
Like just supreme confidence. Like one time he showed up at like a extended family gathering with the most beautiful apple pie I've ever seen in my life. Like with a handmade pastry, like flake pastry, the whole thing. And I was like, oh, cool. Did Sarah make this? And he was like, no, I made it. And I was like, wait, you make pastry and bake? And he was like, well, human beings make pastry. Therefore, I can make pastry. And that's the way he looks at like any problem. He's like, if a human crafted this, therefore, I can craft it because I am a human.
Oof.
And it's like that kind of confidence is just something I can't even fathom that. I'm just like, no, I can't make a pie. You go get those at the store.
Right. I just like, we are also doing this project in my house where my brother-in-law, who's very good at woodworking, and my dad has been at my house for like a week and he's just loved it. He's just
so
been
nice.
Like, yeah. Cause he keeps 4 grandbabies 4 days a week.
Yeah.
And my dad is like the most introverted introvert of all time. So he's like, hey, where's the spare key? I'm y'all are at work. I'm going over there. Like, you know, like, I'm just going to go glue some wood boards to your fireplace while y'all are gone. Don't worry about it. You know, like, oh, your plumber's coming. Okay. I'll sit at your house for 4 hours. You know, it's like his love language is like, I want to serve you, but I want to do it alone or just with you, you know? But I really like, I'll have moments where I realize I was a baby of the family. Cause like, you know, I'm like trying to work a caulk gun and my dad's standing there with me and it just like without saying anything, we didn't miss a beat. I just handed it to him cause I couldn't get to work. He didn't ask. He grabbed it. He fixed it, gave it back to me. And I was like, that's me. I can't get this to work. Fix it, please. Give it back. I'm not going to try any harder than I have to.
Oh, that's fantastic. Welcome to Ancient and New. This is a show about the scriptures and just a couple of buddies hanging out talking about them. And we're going to talk about the same passage today. We do this occasionally. And so I'm going to read it. This is the kind of the first half of Psalm 18. This is written by David. He says, I love you, Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield, and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I called to the Lord, who is worthy of praise, and I've been saved from my enemies. The cords of death entangled me. The torrents of destruction overwhelmed me. The cords of the grave coiled around me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called to the Lord. I cried to my God for help. From his temple, he heard my voice. My cry came before him, into his ears. The earth trembled and quaked. The foundations of the mountains shook. They trembled because he was angry. Smoke rose from his nostrils. Consuming fire came from his mouth. Burning coals blazed out of it. He parted the heavens and came down. Dark clouds were under his feet. He mounted the cherubim and flew. He soared on the wings of the wind. He made darkness his covering, his canopy around him. The dark rain, the clouds of the sky. Out of the brightness of his presence, clouds advanced with hailstones and bolts of lightning. The Lord thundered from heaven. The voice of the Most High resounded. He shot his arrows and scattered the enemy. With great bolts of lightning, he routed them. The valleys of the sea were exposed. The foundations of the earth laid bare at your rebuke, Lord, at the blast of breath from your nostrils. He reached down from on high and took hold of me. He drew me out of deep waters. He rescued me from my powerful enemy, from my foes who were too strong for me. They confronted me in the day of my disaster, but the Lord was my support. He brought me out into a spacious place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. Okay, that was a lot. That was a lot of verses. Mm. But let's dive into it. That was a lot of imagery and flowery language and
flowery
in the sense of like flowery in the sense of like decorative, like a lot of poetic decorative language.
Yeah. Okay. Now I got you.
I mean, like, yeah, when you're talking about somebody like spewing fire out of their mouth and smoke out of their nostrils, that doesn't lend itself to flowers.
No. Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I was like, flowery.
And anytime somebody says a phrase like the torrents of destruction, that doesn't.
Yeah.
It's not flowers, but flowery in the sense of like really just like just decorative language.
Yeah. Oh yeah, it's so interesting, and it's. I'm thankful for this because, one, like. I mean, I assume this is written when David is being chased by his best friend's dad to be killed. Maybe, you know, like that would be my guess, which I've never experienced that. Right. And I'm sure that feels extremely overwhelming.
Like your childhood, like if
Matthew, Mark Foxworth,
yeah, Matthew Foxworth,
which would be terrifying. Because that man used to just call himself Foxworth, which was like,
he referred to himself in the third person as Foxworth.
Yeah. If you ever like their home answering machine, you couldn't tell if it said, this is the Foxworth or this is Foxworth. But the way he said it was like, this is Foxworth. No one can come to the phone right now. Please leave a message. And like, if you met him, that's like how he would perceive himself. He was always really nice, but he also like had a full gym in his garage, was huge. Always, you know, it was just like terrifying. Mark was terrifying. And so if Mark Foxworth was chasing me, it would have been terrifying. But like, I don't know that feeling. You know, there was definitely times when my best friend's dad would be upset with me and angry
like
with me.
Like he would name his two fists, like the cords of death and the snares and the torrents of destruction.
Marshall Mannheim and Steamroller. You remember that? Yes. Yeah, but it's encouraging for someone like me who can be a bit dramatic to see someone be a little bit dramatic when describing their situation, you know, because like cords of death, you're torrents of destruction.
You're given to hyperbole from time to time.
Yeah, as are you, I would say.
Well, Christy and I were talking about this recently because she and I both exaggerate and describe things in dramatic ways. Mm. And now our children are like way worse than we are. So they just like, I mean, it's like if the slightest hunger pang hits one of my children, they're like, what are we eating? I'm literally starving to death.
Yeah.
You know, and you're like, you ate a vat of goldfish 45 minutes ago.
Yeah, yeah. That will be our children.
You and Maddie's.
I mean, they are doomed.
Because you're hyperbolic and Maddie is too, right?
Yes. Yeah. We haven't even started to talk about the Bible.
We're getting there.
Well, it's just, this is coming from the place that like, David is being, I would guess, a bit hyperbolic, but maybe that's what's literally going on. But when you look at this, and maybe it's just people who are hyperbolic who can agree with this, but there are times in your life when that is the way things are feeling in the moment, right? Like, I don't know what it's like to be entangled by cords of death. I don't know what those are. I always picture a devil's snare from book one of Harry Potter. Yeah, like, but there are definitely times in my life when my feelings and my emotions and my situation feel so overwhelming that that's probably how I would describe them. Like,
yeah, like I don't feel like there's a way out of this.
Right. Yeah. And that's,
I'm stuck.
Yes, exactly. Which like if your best friend's dad, who happens to be the king of the land, has this whole army chasing you, I would imagine that's what that feels like, you know, and you're like hiding in a cave. Like that's terrifying.
Right.
I don't know that feeling. But for David, I imagine it felt like I can't get out of this. Like I have this green viney thing that is wrapped around me. And the more I struggle, the more it pulls. Like that's probably a pretty fair statement for him in that moment, though it may be a bit hyperbolic.
I think the thing that's always struck me about this particular psalm is the fact that, I mean, there's so many things that are about our spiritual life that have realities in them that are invisible.
Mm-hmm.
And like, we're called to believe something on faith. We're supposed to, we're supposed to trust things that we can't see and believe things are happening behind the surface that are bigger and better and more significant than we can tell. And there are a lot of things like that in walking with Jesus, but like, this is one of those places where you get kind of a peek behind the curtain and you realize like, oh man, there's something that's so much bigger than I thought it was. Mm. And I think that if I was to describe what I think, like what I honestly think happens when I pray, I would be like, well, I guess, my prayer goes up into the ether somewhere and then it lands on a list that's like a kabillion miles long.
Yeah.
And then it gets prioritized by importance to the God of the universe, who is literally taking calls from 7.2 billion people.
Right.
And like, even people who say they don't believe in God are like, I'm convinced they're praying for things.
Oh, of course.
You know, and they're begging they're begging God to do something on behalf of them. And so I imagine like, if you could just picture some impossibly long list and I pray for something, I imagine it goes into a queue.
Right.
And when will it ever get to the top?
Right.
Or I imagine it this way, that like, I pray for the thing that I want and God looks at my performance in my life and is like, well, like somebody asking for a raise. And so you immediately have a performance review and it's like, well, let's see if you've earned this raise. How have you been spending your time? You know? And it's like, oh, which immediately makes me feel in trouble, which makes me feel reluctant to pray because I feel like there's reluctance on his part to answer. Those are the things that I would assume on my own, just my natural mind as a person and my natural heart would assume happens when you pray. Hmm. And what the scripture does for us in this moment is, let me tell you what really happens. The God of heaven is so fiercely invested in your life. Like, I just read the other day in Matthew chapter 10, I think, about how he has numbered every hair on your head. Hmm. Like, I haven't done that. I don't know how many hair, it's increasingly less, but like, he knows the exact number and he is so intimately involved in every piece of my life. He is infinite. And so he has an infinite amount of attention and he's giving me 100% of his attention somehow while he's also giving that to you and everybody who's listening to this. And when my heart cries out to him, what this psalm basically says is he tears heaven open, like rides on flaming angels, like water skis, slinging lightning bolts and routing my enemies in ways that I can't comprehend or understand. Mm. It's invisible to me, but he is careening down out of heaven to help me because whatever breaks my heart makes him angry. Mm. And I'm like, what? That's what prayer is? I think that if I honestly believed to the degree that I believed this was true, my prayer life would triple, quadruple, quintuple. Like, it would just go crazy. Mm. I would care about corporate prayer more. I would care about praying more. Like, if you shared a problem with me, we wouldn't get out of that conversation without me praying about it.
Mm.
Because if I believe this is what happened, that's what it would happen in my life.
Right.
And I'm not saying that to shame us into like, well, we should be praying more. I think it's just, for me, it's the revelation that like the invisible realities of our faith are crazy good.
Right.
And there's no hyperbole that can really get to the height of how much, how God is not reluctant,
right,
but how he is active and he is intense. He's more intense about my problems than I am.
Right. I like that. I like that you started off by talking about what I think really happens when I pray, because I don't know that I've given that much thought except when I'm usually I only give thought to what I think happens when I pray, when I'm upset about it, when I feel very distant from God and I think there's no way you're paying attention to me right now at all, you know, whatever the thought is. And that's like as a follower of Jesus, that's one of those that's like, that's tough to admit that I do, but it definitely, I think everybody does at some point. They're like, hey, are you paying attention to me right now? Do you listen? And then to read this and actually like prescribe that. And I agree with you. I don't think it's a thing that needs to be, we need to be praying more. I do think like in the moments we are praying, to direct our mindset to like, this is what's going to happen when these words are said.
Yeah, because really
this isn't a conversation about let's pray more, let's be more fierce about praying, let's be more active about praying. It needs to be when you are praying and when words are coming out of your mouth or thoughts are in your head to our Lord Jesus, this needs to be the thought that's going through your mind of how he's receiving that. Because the way this starts, and we talked about it, is someone is surrounded and entangled in death. You know, we're only halfway through this psalm, but when the way this bit wraps up is you went from being coiled and wrapped up and like, you know, there's a boa constrictor around every inch of you to you brought me into a spacious place.
Wow. Yeah.
You know, you go from I can't breathe at all to now all of a sudden we're on a walk in a field and the flowers are in bloom.
Dude.
And hay bales, you know, I just, which is like,
I don't know where you got hay bales.
That's the only word that came up. But like,
what made your mind go to
you're
hay
just
bales?
In, you're in my mind right now. Like you are like getting, okay. Hey, what's Thomas Cox's ideal quiet time? And what's his like ideal space with the Lord is like, I'm picturing, you know, like, this is just so funny. I pictured, if you haven't watched the movie Soul yet, this won't make sense, but there's that guy, what's his name, like Moonsong or something like that, who's dancing on the corner with the twirling the sign and gets him into that like dream area. And like when you're in my, you know, when I am in my zone or whatever you want to call it, that's me like walking through a field and there's like the smell of fresh hay and there's flowers and trees and stuff like that. It's so silly, but
no, I love that.
That made no sense for a lot of people.
I just love the going from the one extreme to the other of like, I can't move. I can't escape. I can't get out. And then what got me was when you said the thing of like, all of a sudden we're on a walk. I was like, man, that was so kind.
Yeah.
That is a masterful bit of songwriting by David right there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then like to add to that, like when we talked about my, you know, kind of my natural feelings of what probably happens when I pray, you know, my prayer goes on an impossibly long list. It'll never get prioritized, or I'm probably going to get a performance review as a result of sending this up, or now I'm going to be, you know,
performance review. Oof.
Yeah. Doesn't that sound terrible?
Yeah.
And you know, or whatever, it's just like, or there's great reluctance on God's part. And then what David says is that it's like where he says, he drew me out of deep waters, rescued me from my powerful enemy. They confronted me, but the Lord was my support and he rescued me because he delighted in me. It's like, it's all the truths about God's heart toward me are the opposite of everything that I would assume. Yeah. It's like I can clearly remember the first time I really read Psalm 56, where it just talks about like, all my tears are in, you keep in a bottle and like you write them down on your scroll. And I'm like, and I got to this, had this realization that like the God I grew up believing in was a lie.
Yeah.
This God that we have is really invested in my heart and like really, really cares about how I'm doing. And that, you know, these kinds of verses, these kinds of things are things that like, if we didn't have them written down and if we didn't go to the Psalms again and again and again, we would not believe them.
Right.
Because our hearts would tell us something else. And I love that thing that John says in 1 John that God is greater than our hearts.
Yeah.
Thank goodness.
Yeah, thank goodness. Yeah, the heart is deceitful above all things. It is full of nastiness. Like, when we're trusting our hearts, which, like...
There's no hay bales anywhere.
Oh, my word. I'll never unhear that. But, yeah, and that, I feel like that's, like, if there were, like, notes, cliff notes from our podcast, if someone was describing it, like there's a lot of little like things that we like constantly cycle back to. And one of them is that like the heart is deceitful above all things. Like, I feel like I've said that on this podcast 38 times. I don't know how many episodes we've done at this point, but I feel like I've said it a lot, and it's something because I need to remember that. But today I super need to remember that this is what happens when I'm praying. Like, it's, I have to, I have to remember that. It makes me want to do it more, but you know, cause it goes from, you know, if you listen to this episode wrong, you could hear it. That was bold of me to say.
There's it's a right you, way listener. To listen. It's on you.
There's a right way to listen to this podcast. No, but if you know, you could hear this podcast and come out of it thinking like, these guys are, you know, they're telling me to pray more. I need to focus and double down and pray more. If you heard it as, wow, this is what happens when I pray, some, you are going to pray more.
Yeah.
It, like, theoretically, we just jujitsu'd you into praying more. It worked. No, that was not our goal. But I am walking out of this, you know, the doors of this church this morning where we were recording, and I'm going to think, like, that's what happens when I pray. I can't wait to pray more.
Yeah.
Get
everybody out of my way. Like, let me set this in motion.
Yeah, the idea of being in constant conversation and in constant prayer, that is, I just read a text in the middle of our episode.
Like, in the middle of a thought. Yeah. I watched you. It was just like Potsy. You just, like, we're in the middle of a meeting. Oh, you just picked up your phone and paid attention to it.
I'm sorry. But that, you know, that is what, I don't even know where I am now.
Yeah, that's darn what happens. That is, that's so what bad. Happens when you phone snub somebody, is you lose your train.
Oh, man.
But yeah, I mean, this is what it is like, and I don't even want to challenge listeners. I just want to do it now.
Right.
I want, when you drive away, I want to sit down and launch into a prayer and believe that this is what's happening.
Right.
That he's rushing to my defense. That he's right. Ripping heaven apart.
I also want to get to the place too, which I'm getting so much better at this in my life, but I'm not there yet. Like, when I'm at the feeling of cords of death, torrents of destruction, and I'm praying, and then however many hours later, when I'm at the feeling of I'm in a spacious place, I want to get to the point where I'm thinking to myself, you did it. I was at this. I asked for help. And now look at us. Look at me.
Just from devil's snare to hay bales.
Yeah. But, you know, like, there's a period of my life where every evening I went on a walk at the marina. Yeah. And it was just, we have this, like, if you're not familiar with Oak Ridge, it's one of the most beautiful places in America, I think. Like, we're, you know,
certainly.
there's some beautiful places in America. And that's, you know, it's probably a bit of a stretch for me to say. You know, I've, like, sat on the rim of the Grand Canyon. I've driven through Big Sur and, like, seen massive waves hit cliffs of California. It's like, this is a beautiful country. But, like, there's a thing when you are in Oak Ridge at evening time and you're on a walk by our river, and there's this, like, cool mountain in the background that's always looked like a volcano to me.
Yeah.
And the sun just is, like, shimmering on this stream. It's so beautiful. It's beautiful. We live in a beautiful place. And there was a period in my life where I spent it, no matter what I was doing, every evening I would went on a walk, and it was just like, I probably looked like a fool because I looked like I was talking to myself, but I just told myself, I'm going to go on a walk, and it's specifically with Jesus. Like, we are just going to walk and talk, and I don't know how far I'm going to go. It may be short, it may be long. I don't care how sweaty I get. I don't care the temperature. I did it in the rain a few times.
Yeah.
And when I get to that place now, spiritually in prayer, I want to remember that. Like, I was at a place where I felt like I was being choked out. I couldn't breathe. I couldn't see. And now we're on a walk again. Like, my walk with the Lord went from me not being able to see him, hear him, feel him because I can't get out of the situation I'm in, to all of a sudden we're on a walk again. Because he answered me, and he rode flaming angels to get me. He tore back the sky. He parted the heavens. He parted waves and oceans just because me, a tiny speck, a grain of rice, just was standing here and needing help. And he heard me. That's so helpful and encouraging. And it's going to change the way I think about prayer. our podcast helped me today. I'm not even going to listen to it.
Good. I'm so glad.
Yeah. I'm fired up right now. Sheesh.
I hope it's an encouragement to you guys. Thanks for hanging out with us. Thanks for spending time with us. Enjoy praying.
I want to kick this space heater over and just like, I want to rip my shirt like, right now. That's a thing like, people did at one point,
just,
right?
Yeah, just rend your garments. Just like Coach Orgeron before the Alabama game when he was on Tennessee staff. Throwing the, what was it, like a...
It was a projector.
A projector, yeah.
He shattered it against the wall. And if you haven't read the article...
Oh, my gosh.
Especially like as a Tennessee fan right now.
It's so amazing.
If your sights are not set on Lane Kiffin, which there's no way the Tennessee
Welcome
Athletic Department is...
Welcome to the coaching search, folks.
There's no way, which like... A Tennessee beat reporter reported that Lane Kiffin reached out to a booster earlier this week, which like, whatever. By the way, the Florida basketball team annihilated Tennessee last night and their first tweet was, "We're loving it." And they put the score.
Oh, wow. Rough.
Yikes.
Oh, that is a big time troll.
It's amazing. It's not even trolling anymore. It's just like, yeah. It's not even fun anymore for people like that. It's like, oh, okay.
They're like, this joke is too obvious, but we have to put it. It's like a union requirement. All right, folks. I'm Lee.
I'm Thomas.
This has been Ancient and New.
You reached down for me. You took hold of me. Lord, you rescued me from my enemy. You reached down for me. You took hold of me, Lord, you rescued me from my enemy. From under deep waters, when I was too weak, in the day of disaster, you came for me. I lifted my voice, and you heard my cry. You parted the heavens. Tore back the sky. Well, you delighted in me. You loved me when I was your enemy. And you delighted in me. You was your